you hear about the guy who paid his taxes to the IRS with a smile? It didn't work out, though. It turns out they prefer money. Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, paying taxes is certainly no laughing matter, and we don't want to miss something that could end up costing us money. Fortunately, Kevin Cross is here today with a list of year-end tax tips you won't want to miss. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to have my old friend Kevin Cross on the program. Not that you're old, Kevin, but our relationship goes back a ways, doesn't it?
A few decades.
He's a dear brother in Christ. We've been friends for a long time. He's a certified public accountant and has headed up CPA firms in Florida and now in Georgia. He's studied the tax code at length. The rumor is he keeps the tax code on his nightstand. I'm not sure whether that's true or not. Kevin, great to have you on the program.
So good to be here.
Kevin, we've got less than 60 days until the end of tax year 2024, so I'd like to try to quickly move through a few tax tips. What do we need to do before time expires?
Well, I tell you, I can't believe the year's almost over.
Yeah.
And we're all looking at things we can do. First, you want to do the easiest.
Yeah.
How much have you withheld? How much have you paid in?
Yes.
Because that's a biggie.
Yeah, no question about it. You certainly don't want to give the government a tax-free loan. You also don't want to owe anything, so there's a balancing act there. Is it too late for that, or are we just learning for next year at this point?
Well, really, what we can do is we can over-withhold for the next, whatever, six paychecks or okay. two paychecks or the next month. Knowing how much you've paid in is a very good feeling. Because if you're way behind, if you owe 10 grand, 20 grand, all of a sudden you say, there's a desperate move I need to make now to not only pay some in, but to see what I can buy or do or donate to kind of lower my tax liability.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that in terms of lowering that tax liability. Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is retirement plan contributions. So in these next 60 days, what should they be thinking about there?
Well, this is perfect because say they're behind.
Yeah.
And they look at their paycheck stub and they haven't contributed to their 401k or they haven't contributed to an IRA. This is a great time to do that. And you actually could allocate all of your paycheck this next month and a half to your 401k, maybe max it out. Now, some have already maxed out. Some say, oh, look, I already did that. I'm way ahead of you. Well, that's where you could do something maybe creative like a backdoor Roth. That's a kind of a cool thing.
All right, let's explain that. What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't exist in the tax code, but it's this cool thing where you put money into an IRA that is not deductible. So you're prohibited from doing it. And so what happens the day after, that money gets spit back out as a non-deductible IRA contribution, and it goes right into a Roth IRA. That's a very good thing for people who are high income.
Okay, excellent. So ask your tax preparer about that, a backdoor IRA. Now, speaking of IRAs, if they've maxed out their 401k or 403b, which has to happen by year end because it's salary deferral, that IRA contribution could go all the way up until they file their 2024 return, right?
Yeah, traditional IRA can, but the backdoor Roth has to be done this year. Okay. So that's the little nuance. Some people go, wait, I thought I had until filing deadline, not for a backdoor Roth.
Okay, very good. So backdoor Roth by year end, regular IRA contributions, both traditional and Roth IRA by tax filing day. What about some other deductions that they may not have on their radar?
Okay, so I love this. We always talked about this for the last 40 years we've been together, charitable contributions, even though the standard deduction is higher. And we know with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017, which probably will now stay in.
Yes.
We're going to have a very robust standard deduction, but this might be the year for you to say, hey, I could batch my charitable contributions. I could do 2 years worth of charitable contributions this year, lower it next year to take the standard deduction, and then do that every 2 years. That'd be great. And also non-cash contributions. Non-cash contributions is a hidden gem. I guarantee our listeners probably donate every month to Goodwill, Salvation Army. Well, take a picture of it, and then we start to document those. It's not as hard as it sounds.
Kevin, you mentioned bunching. Would that best be done through a donor advised fund or just make those contributions direct?
I would love a donor advised fund because then your charity, your nonprofit, is going to get their consistent monthly or weekly gift the following year. Yeah. So I love donor advised funds.
Excellent. We're talking about tax tips here at Year End. Kevin Cross with me today. He's a CPA, and he's helping us out as you prepare for not paying any more than you have to, but being ready to file when next April comes, or perhaps even before that. More just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. How do you respond if someone tells you, "I have good news and bad news"? Which do you want first? It's hard to enjoy good news, knowing bad comes with it. But the good news of Jesus Christ is only good if you know the bad news first. Jesus Christ saves sinners and gives them eternal life. Psalm 112 tells us, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." And the reason they're never shaken is because they're standing on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Yes, we are great sinners, but He is a greater Savior. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Send joy to a child in need with Operation Christmas Child. Simply pack a shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, and hygiene items. Then bring it to a drop-off location during National Collection Week, now through Monday. You can also build a shoebox online. The best part is the good news of Jesus Christ is shared alongside your gift, and each child is given the opportunity to participate in a life-changing discipleship program. Visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC to learn more.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me today, my good friend Kevin Cross. He's a certified public accountant, and he's run CPA firms in Florida, now in Georgia. And we're talking about year-end tax tips, the year-end coming so quickly, and that means another tax year in the books. We want to make sure you're ready as you start preparing for filing for tax year 2024. Kevin, just to summarize, you mentioned in the last segment, make sure you reduce your taxable income. One of the best ways to do that is with retirement plan contributions. You mentioned two types. You mentioned the 401k. You also mentioned the IRA, traditional and Roth, but also a backdoor IRA. That's for those high income earners who are not eligible for a Roth contribution, but can make a non-deductible contribution to a traditional IRA and then convert it. Is that something they'll want to talk to their CPA about?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great vehicle to kind of get you to a place where, you know, some don't have Roth Roth IRAs.
Yeah.
Because they've always had traditional 401ks, and they'd love to. Because obviously, in retirement, we want to be able to take money out of our Roth, not just out of our traditional.
Yeah, exactly. You have to do a Roth by year end. Now, with those standard Roth and IRA contributions, if you're eligible to do that, you can wait all the way until you file for 2024. You also hit on the opportunity to be creative in our giving. You said, because is it now 90% of taxpayers take the standard deduction with it being higher? Is that right?
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. 90%. So in order to get above that, you may want to think about bunching your charitable contributions. If you have the ability to do it, that means putting in maybe 2 years worth of charitable giving. And you mentioned a donor advised fund is a great way to do that. I call it a charitable checking account. Why do you like the donor advised fund?
I love it because it's less daunting. Because most of our listeners say, well, if I give twice as much giving this year, my church or my nonprofits will get nothing next year.
Yeah.
Well, no, we won't do that. We'll make sure that your giving plan, whatever you predetermined in your heart to do, if it goes into the donor advised fund, that donor checking account, that charitable checking account, the money goes in there and you can divvy it out however you want to. And really, it puts you in a better position. You could be on vacation and you're visiting a new church and you go, wow, I want to donate here.
Yep.
And you've got this opportunity because you've got this donor advised fund. It really makes you a better giver.
I love it. NCF is the place I'd go. There's many, many donor advised fund sponsors out there, but National Christian Foundation is our go-to resource. Go to ncfgiving.com. You can open a donor advised fund in no time at all. Now, as we talk about charitable giving opportunities, Kevin, here we are with the Dow Jones and the S&P and the NASDAQ sky high, especially on the heels of the election. A lot of people in taxable investment accounts probably sitting on significant gains that they didn't anticipate when they started the year. How can they be thoughtful about giving that away in a tax-efficient manner?
Well, most of us give out of our cash. We get our cash flow. And even though we might have some gains in our stocks or mutual funds, we go, well, I don't know really. Oh, yeah, I think I can give that. This is the perfect time because we probably got a little bump this last month. We're up for the year. Let's go ahead and give appreciated stock. It's a great idea because say you bought $1,000 worth of stock. It's worth $1,500 now. You give the $1,500 of stock to your donor advised fund. You get a $1,500 deduction, not the $1,000 which you paid for. Mm-hmm. So if you compare apples to apples, you only had $1,000 in your bank account to give. Now you have $1,500 to give, and you get the pure write-off on the $1,500.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. What about record keeping on charitable contributions?
Well, usually the charitable contributions always go to a place where they're very good about giving you a receipt. Over $250, you got to get a receipt. If you give non-cash, or you give like stocks or some appreciated stocks or even not appreciated, you might say, look, I got the stock, it's a dog, but I want to get rid of it. Yeah. You still get that write-off on it, and it's wonderful, and the organization will give you a receipt.
I love it. Kevin, we've talked a lot here about qualified charitable distributions. For those in a retirement season of life, am I correct in saying the only way to get money out of an IRA without adding it to your taxable income is through a qualified charitable distribution?
I love them. I wish they would reduce that to our age because we've got money in retirement that we'd love to give. It doesn't end up on your tax return. So you might say, well, what's the difference between me giving through my IRA or my 401k through a qualified charitable distribution or me just giving it? Well, when that money comes to you, you have to report as income and then you can deduct it on your Schedule A. But if you're not deducting anything on your Schedule A and you're taking the standard deduction, you've just paid tax on income that you shouldn't have.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right, Kevin, let's switch gears here. Is there any common missteps people make or anything unique to tax year 2024 credits, opportunities they may not have on their radar that they don't want to miss?
Well, I was telling everybody, hey, we don't know how long the capital gains, lower capital gains rates are going to be here. Yeah. It looks to me, I don't have a crystal ball, but it looks to me that it's probably going to be preserved into the next few years because they were going to phase out at the end of 2025. So I would say, hey, if you got some appreciated stuff, get rid of it. You're going to be in a lower tax bracket for capital gains. What I do love also is taking advantage of this code section 121A. That is selling your primary residence and you can forego $500,000 in profit if you've lived in it two out of the last 5 years. So I love it. That's the only tax code section you have to memorize, 121A, and that every person can take advantage of, especially with an appreciated market.
Well, I mean, all of our listeners know Code Section 121A.
Oh, of course.
So, I mean, I've educated them appropriately, Kevin. I can't imagine that you would have thought I wouldn't have. All right, let's talk about planning for next year, Kevin. You talk about reviewing your withholding. Why is that important, and what should they be looking for?
Okay, so several clients changed jobs this year, or maybe you have your small business. A lot of people have small business, little consulting, maybe gig workers, and maybe there's not enough taxes paid in.
Yeah.
And so if you can take a look at what you've paid in, you can go, whoa, I've got only less than 2 months left. I've only paid this amount in. I think I've made this. Look at last year's, and I paid into the IRS less than I paid last year. I'm going to be in a world of trouble.
Yeah.
So that's why we need to look at that.
All right. And how important is the quarterly estimated payment?
It's like interest. You got to do it to avoid the interest. And that's what the underpayment penalty is. It's really just interest on the money that the IRS would have liked to have quarterly. So say you say, I'm not giving the IRS money. I'm not going to pay my estimated tax payments. I'm just going to pay on April 15th. Well, that's fine. You can pay the full tax, but they're going to charge you interest, so to speak. And that's the underpayment penalty. So it's going to cost you more than it would have cost you to put it on a credit card even.
Yeah.
IRS rates are awful.
All right. Well, that's really important to know, and that's why we want to make sure we pay in what we need to. Now, we hear from people all the time that say, listen, Rob, I'm not proud of this, but I haven't paid in years, and I'm scared to even open the letters, even think about engaging the IRS with it because I'm not sure what I will find. What would you say to that person who's in that situation?
Oh, my. That's the bulk of my clients over the last four decades. And this is what usually happens. They hear a radio program like this. They feel like the Lord's talking to them.
Yeah.
And they say, look, I need to do the right thing.
Yeah.
But there's this fear that if they do it, the IRS is going to throw them in jail, or they're going to be broke, or you know, they're going to lose their family. It's not true. It is not true. God's going to take care of you. Take the first step. Contact your local CPA. Contact someone who's got some IRS controversy experience. And then let them file a limited power attorney. It's an IRS form that allows them to talk on your behalf. Take a look at what needs to be filed, and you're going to see that God has a plan, and it's a plan that's going to help you get from where you're at. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of thought, a lot of this. It's on your heart and on your mind so long. Do this, and you're going to be fortunate to see what God does.
All right. Well, how about you stick around, Kevin, and we'll answer caller questions on taxes right after this. Sound good?
I'd love it.
Awesome. We'll be back with Kevin Cross, CPA, right after this, taking your tax questions. 800-525-7000. Don't go anywhere.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What's your reputation? Kind? Generous? Shy? Rick Robertson says it would be wonderful to have the reputation of being someone who did things that were right in God's eyes. Of course, our best example of that is Jesus. And in the article in The Stand called A Soul Refreshing Rain, Rick helps us see how Jesus' attributes can change our daily lives. Visit afa.net/thestand and read A Soul Refreshing Rain today. afa.net/thestand.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Well, there's nothing like talking taxes before 11 in the morning. I mean, that's what you wanted to do, right? Well, Kevin Cross is here today. Let's talk about it. What are your questions going on in your financial life related to taxes? Well, the 2024 tax year is almost in the books, and we want to make sure you're prepared to file your return and pay what you owe, but not anything more than that. And Kevin's going to ensure that you do just that. Perhaps you have some questions about this tax year. Maybe you've got a unique situation. You're wondering how that's going to affect you. Maybe you are in the gig economy and you've started a business. You're wanting to know what's the best way to think about that. What if you haven't filed in a while and you're concerned about that, wanting to know where you go from here and what are the implications of that? We'd love to take any of those questions. He's going to be with us for the next couple of segments today. So if you have a tax question, call right now. The lines are open. We'll begin to queue those calls and take them here in just a moment. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Your questions for Kevin Cross today on the broadcast. Kevin, speaking of starting a business, you know, we do have more and more people, especially coming out of COVID, now in the gig economy. They're working on their own. They're maybe doing multiple things. They're earning income on a 1099 basis that's new to them. That creates a whole host of questions around how do I comply with the tax code as I now am a gig employee, or not an employee, but a contractor. What are some keys to understanding how to approach that?
Yeah, it's amazing. Even if we're getting a couple $1,000s a year, there's a temptation to say, look, it shouldn't be taxable. I'm not going to report it.
Right.
But then you always think, oh, Lord's not going to bless me and it's not legal.
Right.
And then you go, well, if I report it, I'm going to end up giving half of it to Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Well, what if you do it the right way and you get to deduct the expenses from that? So, you know, usually people making less than 10 grand probably are not going to pay any tax on that if they keep pretty good records.
Mm. Okay, so unpack that a bit more. What would be a typical expense that maybe somebody's missed that they could put against that?
Well, everybody's got a cell phone. Everybody's got internet.
Yeah.
All this gig economy, you're dependent on that.
Yep.
And you know what? You probably have some miles. It's 67 cents per mile that the IRS gives you.
Okay.
If you look back and you go, wow, I think I have about 1,300 miles. I think I have 2,800 miles just going here and there, meeting people, going to the mailbox, going to the bank, meeting clients, trying to hustle. That's all going to be tax deductible for you. And then there's the home office deduction, and it's not as risky as it used to be.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. There's something called the tax court method, which is you don't get as much, but you get a percentage, and they give you up to $1,500.
Ah.
So it's usually just looked at the IRS. It's almost like a standard deduction for home office.
Okay. Now, if you do have a dedicated space and you want to calculate out the square footage assigned to that space, you could actually get much more specific, but you need to be able to defend that before the IRS,
exactly.
Right?
So say some people say, well, look, I built out my office. I made it like a studio.
Yeah.
It's I do work on as a social media consultant.
Yeah, I'm a podcaster or
exactly.
something like that.
Yeah. And I've got $10,000 worth of build out. Well, that's going to be tax deductible for you. But most of us, we occupy a room in our home.
Yeah.
And so then we don't know how much to deduct.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, Kevin Cross is here. We're taking your calls and questions today, tax-related questions on the broadcast today. Let's head to the phones. We'll go to Texas. Daryl, you'll be first up. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, sir, for your ministry. I greatly appreciate it. I have a problem with the IRS. My business went defunct during COVID. I was shut down for 9 months, and it was just a mom and pop business. I spent 6 years. I didn't take a salary or anything. We just, we paid other people. We never paid ourselves. But after 9 months, the debt had destroyed the business. And I did not pay income tax that April of 15th, nor have I paid taxes since then. And I'm worried that the IRS is going to find me eventually. And I want to know how to get out of this mess. I'm 72 years old. I'm concerned that I may pass and my wife be left with this problem, and I don't want that to happen. The only thing I own is my house. So if they come after us, that's all we've got to give them.
Well, Daryl, my heart breaks
for you. What do I need to do?
Daryl, that is a pressure that you don't need. And because of the fact pattern you just gave me, you probably are not going to be in a very bad shape situation with the IRS. I think the biggest thing to do is just gather the records. We'll figure out what the income, what the expenses are. You probably have a loss. And you file that. And then we're going to close the business that year that you literally closed. So you don't have to file after that. Right now, true, there's this lingering moment where it's like every year they're looking for the filing. But once we file and we give them the extenuating circumstances, it was COVID. There's a lot of businesses that that happened to. I think this is going to give you great life.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is don't run away from this and continue to wonder. Let's lean into it. And to Kevin's point, at the end of the day, once we settle out the income and expenses and the reality of the situation, there's probably not any tax liability whatsoever. But we got to get that return in. And then to Kevin's point, close the business. Kevin, what's involved in officially closing the business from the IRS's standpoint?
Well, if it's a corporation, we have to file this dissolution.
Yeah.
And, of course, you have to file something with the state that you're in, Texas, it sounds like. And then once we file that final return, and the final return has a box on it that says this is the final return.
Yeah.
And then that closes that federal tax ID number, that EIN number. Now, if you're not an LLC or an S-Corp, you still want to file that final return on your personal tax return, a Schedule E or Schedule C. You're probably looking at a Schedule C, small business. You're going to check that, hey, the business is out of business. And so all of the assets that you had, we're going to release, we're going to, whatever happened to them, you gave them away, you sold them, and then you're done. But we have to do that year. So we'll probably have to go back to whatever it was, 2021 or 2020, and file that return, and then you won't have a filing after that, but whatever income you have now.
Daryl, does that give you some peace of mind?
Yes, sir, it does. I am a general partnership. Who do I need to talk to get this resolved? Do I talk to the IRS?
Yeah, let's do this. Stay on the line. We'll get your information and get you connected with a resource on that. We've got to hit a break here, but stay right there, Daryl. Mary in Tennessee coming your way after the break. Your questions for Kevin Cross, CPA, 800-525-7000. Don't go anywhere.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
My name is Isabella, and I received my Operation Christmas Child shoebox shortly after the fall of the communist regime in Romania. During this difficult time in my life, this shoebox was a splash of color in my black and white world. You can make a difference in the life of a child by packing a shoebox through Operation Christmas Child. To learn more or to pack a shoebox gift online, visit SamaritanSpurs.org/OCC. That's SamaritanSpurs.org/OCC.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Every day, we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
But do you have some tax questions where you're wondering who to bounce those off of? Well, I got an answer for you today. Kevin Cross is here. Kevin's a good friend, a Christ follower, and a CPA. He's taking your calls and questions. If you have a tax question today, call right now, 800-525-7000. Kevin and I met a couple of decades ago. Our common bond was Larry Burkett in the Ministry of Christian Financial Concepts and then Crown Financial Ministries. And Kevin, listen to this. He would shut down his CPA firm one day a week just to serve people that needed budget counseling. And literally all the tax preparation would stop and they would just come alongside families and just help them put a plan together to move forward. That's just a picture of the heart that he brings to this conversation, wanting to love and serve God's people and doing that through tax compliance. Let's head right back to the phones. By the way, we have two lines open, 800-525-7000. To Tennessee. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Yes, I was trying to find out what to do with self-employment because I'm not required to get a 1099 from my employer because I'm not making whatever amount you need to do that. I don't know. But I'm wondering kind of about like the quarterly stuff and the taxes like Social Security and things like that, or state, city, local, county, whatever, just taxes that may or may not apply to me too.
Yeah, very good. What is it you're doing, Mary?
Well, I'm an artist, so I'm creating artwork, you know, like things of that nature.
How much do you think you will, by the end of 2024, have brought in under that art that you're creating?
I don't know. It's very irregular income, so I don't know. That's part of the challenge I'm having with it is that some months I may make a lot more than others, so it's very variable. It's irregular income. So, yeah, sales, commission sales. So if I sell stuff, if I don't, I don't. So there's that, too.
And what do you think is a ballpark for the year?
I have no idea. I have no way knowing. The last 3 years, I've totaled probably less than 500 for 3 years. So I'm averaging maybe about 100 a year. My biggest month was last December was $77, for example, for that 1 month. In the last four weeks, I've brought in like a zero. So it just depends. I get paid every 2 weeks and it is irregular. So we're selling artwork to people who don't necessarily have a big budget for that sort of thing too. So we're kind of a nonprofit I'm going through that's doing that. So yeah, it's kind of a whatever I sell.
That's very helpful. Kevin?
Well, I love it, Mary. Especially if you have a plan, you go, I can make as much as possible. So for example, say this next year you bring in a couple thousand and you have a couple of home runs and you're really working hard. And you look at all of those canvases you have and all of those pens and paper and the easels, and you go, look what I bought this year. I'm not going to have to pay any tax on that couple thousand dollars because of what I purchased. And then you have all the shows that you drive to, 67 cents a mile, is actually going to result in a loss for you. So there's no estimated tax payments. There's a reporting requirement, but that's it. It's just the nuisance, the headache of reporting, but no tax bite whatsoever based on what you're telling me. Now, if you call us 6 months from now and you say, hey, I hit the home run. I met Banksy, and I just sold one of my paintings for $50,000. Well, we're going to have to do some fancy footwork because we're going to have to figure out square foot of your studio. We're going to have to do all kinds of stuff to kind of lower that. And you might have a tax liability that year, but there'll be no requirement for estimated income tax that year. But the following year, you will.
All right. Now, if she does her own return, she's obviously going to want to use maybe some software. She's going to need those records, though, of all of her expenses. And then she is going to need to nail down that income, because regardless of whether or not there's, you know, there's a loss, it still needs to show up on the return.
Exactly.
Right?
Schedule C. That's the form you're going to use. So you're going to have a 1040 and you're going to attach a Schedule C as in Charlie.
Okay. And if you're going to a CPA or accountant, just bring all that paperwork with you. So it sounds like you have some homework to do. Good news is you're not going to get hit by that lack of a quarterly payment, but you are going to need to pull all the information together to either hand off to someone or to input yourself. Mary, I hope that's helpful. Thanks for your call. To Kentucky, another Mary. Go ahead.
Hello. My husband just retired from teaching this year, and he got I think it was around $9,000 for his paid time off that he didn't use, sick days, and I feel like we're going to get hit pretty hard with that. Mm-hmm. He's drawing his retirement, and he's working a part-time job now, and I'm still working. So is there anything we can do to offset, you know, I don't know if there's something we can do where that would help us tax-wise?
Yeah, Mary, actually, the situation you're in, whenever I see a couple going into that, when they start getting retirement, they start getting maybe Social Security, they get that big, big check when they retire. All of a sudden, when we file, you've made more money than you thought you made. Hmm. Some of it you've saved, some of it you didn't know was taxable. So what I would love for you to do is put away 20% of all the money that you're receiving now. And then you're probably going to end up paying more than you think. The Social Security is probably going to be taxable. That pension may not have enough taken out. So I'd love for you to take out another 20%. Now, I'm not saying give it to the IRS just yet, but put it aside so that when you do your taxes, in the event that you owe some of that, you have it to pay, and then whatever you have left over, you feel like, wow, I've saved this money. I get to, you know, go on a little vacation. Now, next year, you're probably going to be in a similar spot, even though you're not getting the $9,000 in, you know, his sick pay, because you have a full year of Social Security, a full year of retirement benefits. So that's where you have to really tweak how much money is being withheld from your pay, because you're probably not having enough withheld from yours to take care of his income.
Mm. Does that make sense, Mary?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the key is, to Kevin's point, if you carve out that 20%, set that aside, don't pay it into the IRS yet, and then let's get clarity on what you actually owe, either by preparing your own return or handing off all the details to your CPA or accountant, and then you've got the money there. You'll know soon enough, and hopefully you have a little left over. And then anytime, Kevin, we've got a life change, like we're transitioning into retirement, probably a good idea to do some tax planning.
Yes.
And anticipate what's coming, right?
Well, that's exactly right, because, Mary, you're going to get off the phone and go, but I didn't really find anything out. Well, that's where the tax planning that Rob just said. You sit down with someone, and you go, okay, how much is it? How much are you making? Is your Social Security going to be taxable? Because there is an event in your life that could cause your Social Security to be almost all taxable. And then there's some times in your life where Social Security will not be taxable at all. Hmm. So you need to be able to sit down, get with someone, and take all the income this year and say, hey, this is where you're looking. You go, wow, this is what I've paid in. You might have paid in enough.
Yeah. And for some folks who are wondering, well, when is Social Security taxable and when it's not, when is it not? It really has to do with what's called your combined income, Kevin. Isn't
yes.
that right?
Yes.
And you could pay as much as 85% of your Social Security being taxable.
Yeah,
is that the top
end? Yeah, which is tough because you're a retiree. You go, wait a second, I already paid tax on my Social Security. That's what everybody tells me.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to pay tax on this. It's logical. It's illogical that I should pay tax on it. The IRS says, hey, if you've made more than $25,000 as a couple on other income, that's when your Social Security starts to be taxable. Mm. So say you made $50,000 from W-2s, from retirement, and all of a sudden you have Social Security. Now you're talking about Social Security being taxable. It could double your income. Well, nobody thought about that when they got Social Security. So now you could have a bill of $10,000.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden say, wow, how could this be? And almost be livid, be like, there's no way I could owe this.
Yeah.
Several retirees say this to me. There's no way. And I go, well, it's the code.
That's the way it works. Yeah, you're receiving benefits, but you're still funding the people that are going to come after you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And given the fact that the Social Security Trust Fund is going to run dry in 2035, they're looking for that money.
They are.
Hey, Mary, thanks for your call today. All the best to you and your husband. I hope that was helpful. Well, a quick break and back with our final segment. Kevin's going to stick around. Plus, we'll have an opportunity to talk to a good friend from Operation Christmas Child. Alex is here to share some of the details on what you want to participate in this year. We'll be right back.
Learning University.
That wasn't stereo right there, fellas.
That's jumbled.
Dude, we were struggling.
The bumblebee was called the humblebee. Is that true?
Chicken legs are also called drumsticks.
Yeah, that's not a good ice cream flavor. They've got some little tiny saddles that they put on those dragons. Unfortunately, you can only ride them once.
Because then they turn around and take your leg off. Hey, Andrew, you want to ask
it? I'm so excited about getting on. I missed my exit.
Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial-strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, it's National Shoebox Collection Week and Operation Christmas Child coming up in just a few moments. We'll have an opportunity to talk to Alex Sinjimana. Alex is with Operation Christmas Child. He grew up in Rwanda and actually received in an orphanage a shoebox, and it changed the trajectory of his life. He's now with Samaritan's Purse, and he's going to share a bit more about that amazing ministry and your opportunity this week to participate with a shoebox of your own. That's straight ahead. But first, Kevin Cross is here. We're going to try to get to one, maybe two more questions with your tax questions today. Rob's been waiting patiently in Arkansas. Go ahead, sir.
Morning, Rob and Kevin. Hey, so my dad passed away January 22, and just recently I got a notice from the IRS with a label to him, but it's sent to my address saying that he didn't file his taxes. Question one, am I responsible for filing his taxes? Question two, how do I go about doing the footwork?
Yeah, unfortunately, Rob, even in the midst of the pain of your dad passing, you have to file the final decedent return, it's called. And so they're not going to close the file, the records, until you actually file that. So even though it's just a portion of a month and a very small part of a year, we file it. There's going to be some income. It might be a portion of interest or dividends or something. Might be some trades. So you'll report all that. And on the return, you'll say this is a decedent return, and it will actually close the file. He'll never get another letter. So that is kind of your responsibility. It's a little bit of a chore of a return because it is the final return. So getting someone to do it's probably my recommendation. But yeah, Rob, even in the midst of this pain of him passing, you got to do this crazy thing.
Yeah. Rob, thanks for your call today. Let's see. Donna's in Texas. Donna, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for what you do.
I am 72. I'll be 73 in December. I started I'm retired, and I started a business back in 23 June, but I never worked the business at all. And I got a part-time job in August of 23. Now, I haven't filed any taxes for the business or income. I just had my retirement income up until August of 23. So my question is, what is my obligation?
Good one. Okay, so Donna, be on the safe side. You're going to get a 1099-R for your retirement income. And for your part-time work, you probably got a W-2. And for your business income, you know what you brought in. You started that in June, I believe. And so you'll add up all of your income, and then you'll add up some expenses. And that's where probably the hard part comes in. What are my expenses? I got cell phone. I got internet. I've got mileage. I might have some supplies. I might have some tools. I might have bought a laptop. But you'll gather all that, and then you'll report all that on your 1040. So you have the 1040, which will include wages. It'll include retirement income, and it will include a Schedule C as in Charlie for your small business. And so you may end up paying nothing, but reporting it is not only the right thing to do, but it's going to prevent the IRS from coming back. If we don't do anything, they can go back forever to look for it. Yeah. We report something, they have 3 years to review it.
Very good. Donna, thanks for your call today. We're going to finish up one final call in Texas as well. Phil, go ahead.
Yes, I was just trying to find out what I'm up against here.
Yeah, Phil, we're having some trouble with your line. Let me ask Kevin your question. It says, can he do an amended tax return himself in regards to an RMD? He files his own taxes, and he didn't know he was required to do a required minimum distribution.
Okay, so this is so common, Phil. There's people listening right now going, I don't even know what a required minimum distribution is. And I think it was, you know, this one act changed it to 72, then another act changed it to 73. I don't even know if I have requirements. Now, your brokerage company should have sent you your required minimum distribution. If it didn't, yes, we do want to amend. The penalties are much less now. So when you amend, they might even abate the penalty, and you just pay the tax on the required minimum distribution that you did not claim.
Excellent. Boy, Kevin, really appreciate you being here today. We're going to have you back, especially as we get into the new year and head toward that filing deadline. I'm grateful for your friendship, but also your heart. I know you just love serving God's people, and you do this, and it's a joy to have you here in the studio today.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Kevin Cross, CPA. He's been our guest today. Don't worry, we'll have Kevin back real soon, but grateful for his ministry. All right, folks, we're going to begin to wrap up today, but before we do, what an opportunity to talk to Alex Senjamana. Alex is with Operation Christmas Child. As you've heard us saying, it's National Collection Week. That means this is the week where you can stop by one of those 4,700 locations collecting the shoeboxes that it could be a game changer in terms of a child in some part of the world, not only receiving a gift, but receiving the ultimate gift, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Alex, great to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm looking forward to sharing.
Alex, tell us a bit of your story, because I know you grow up in Rwanda in an orphanage, and that's where you first encountered one of these shoeboxes. Isn't that right?
That's correct, yeah. I was 7 years old living in an orphanage in Rwanda when I got to receive a gift for the very first time in my life, and that was an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift. And I was living in an orphanage because of what had just happened in Rwanda, where a genocide against the Tutsi tribe had broken out, and a million people had lost their lives, and over 400,000 orphans were left in the country.
Wow.
It was a difficult time for all the people in the country of Rwanda. And this genocide was a result of hatred that had been created in people's lives. But after losing my grandmother and my uncle due to this genocide, me and my brother and my sister, we were running from place to place, from family to family. And as we ran from place to place, God was doing so many miracles to protect us. Mm. And one of those miracles was that a man's weapon didn't work when they went to take our lives. And running from place and falling and sleeping and falling down to the ground, and a bullet missed my head by an inch. So miracles after yes. miracles that God was doing. But I'm put in this orphanage, and Samaritan's Purse had responded in July of 1994, immediately after the genocide ended. And Samaritan's Purse runs the project of Operation Christmas Child, where the shoeboxes are packed and delivered to children all over the world. And it's a way to demonstrate God's love in a tangible way. And that's when, for the very first time, 250 of us in the orphanage got to receive a gift. And it was such a moment that I will never forget when I opened that shoebox gift.
Alex, thank you for sharing your story. God is so good. Take us back to that day and tell us about your experience opening that box.
Yeah. When all of us, 250 of us, were told to line up in the yard, and they said, today is a special day, you're going to get a gift. So they hand out the gift. So many of us actually had to hold our presents for about 5 minutes, you know, because they wanted us to open the shoeboxes together. But that was about 5 minutes, very long 5 minutes for a seven-year-old who was first in line. And but we got to open the boxes together, and all of us were screaming. But this time, it was a different kind of screaming. We were not scared. We were not running for our lives. But this time, we were filled with so much joy as we saw school supplies, as we saw hygiene items and toys. I remember very specifically looking to my Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift and seeing a hair comb. I kept this hair comb with me for the next 3 years. That's how important these items were. Wow. And as I opened my shoebox gift, seeing the washcloth, you know, during this time, all of us in the orphanage were having nightmares after nightmares because of what we had seen, the horrific images we had seen during the genocide. Now we get to have that coloring book, and we're tracing those little animals in the coloring book, and we're using our colored pencils to color, to create new images and new memories in our minds. It was so special that in that night, we would not be dreaming about the genocide, but we'd be dreaming about the excitement that we had when we got to receive that Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift and all of us screaming of joy. But the deep part of what shoebox did, the eternal impact, was the orphanage director used that opportunity to share with us about Jesus Christ. And the seed of the gospel was planted in my life because during this time, my little faith that I had been shattered because of the genocide when my grandmother was killed. But now the seed of the gospel is planted, and it was a year later that God continued to send me mentors in my life, counselors, to help me realize that I was actually living in bitterness, and helped me realize that God loved me, and God used that person who packed that shoebox gift for me, reminded me of God's love.
Wow, praise the Lord. What an incredible testimony. And now you're packing shoeboxes, and I know you've actually even had the chance to return to that orphanage you grew up in and deliver shoebox gifts to other children, which is just amazing. We've got about a minute left. Yeah. What do our listeners need to know about how they can be involved in this?
Packing an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift gives an opportunity for a pastor or a teacher who has been trained, who has a vision to share the gospel with their communities, and they do that through that ministry. And so when you pack that shoebox gift, you are equipping the local church in order to share the gospel, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And it's a fun way. You can pack a shoebox online, samaritanspurse.org/OCC, or you can even do a physical shoebox gift with your families and friends. Anyone can pack a shoebox gift. And we're collecting these shoeboxes this November 18th through the 25th.
Very good, Alex. Well, we're so appreciative of your time today. Thank you for your ministry and your work with OCC. Folks, if you want to be a part of it, this is National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child. Right now, through the 25th, go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. God bless you, Alex. Thanks for being here today. Folks, thanks for joining us. Big thanks to my team today, Sandy, Devin, Kevin Cross, and Taylor Stanrich, Jim Henry. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.